Why, g'day everyone. This is Chris Claus coming to you live from the Cross and the Crescent discussion group. Yes, that's right, people. You've heard it right. It is Chris Claus today hosting the show and not Eric Smith, even though we do have Eric Smith with us today. So we have a little bit of change going on. We have myself, we have Eric Smith, we have our good friend Ed Van Halen, a wonderful musician. And of course, DL Tate and John Isaac, as we normally do. So today, as being Mother's Day, of course, I think that it's only appropriate that we start off by saying happy Mother's Day to all the mothers that are in the room, especially my wife and my mother as well, and to the mothers and to the wives of the panelists. And of course, all the mothers that are in the chat and that will be watching the live stream later. I hope you all have a wonderful day. But of course, today's an incredible special day, so I'd like to start off by wishing all mothers, but there as I did. But let's be honest, though Mother's Day should be every day, we should not just celebrate mothers one day a year, right? So on today's Mother's Day show, we will be discussing Mary, the mother of our Lord and Savior. We will take a look at the Quran and the Hadith, and we will see which religion truly honors Mary. Now, before we do get into any of this, does anybody have anything that they did want to speak about when it comes to the Quran, Mary, the Bible, Mary, anything? Glad everybody's all talkative today. Right on. So let me get started here. So when understanding the view... Good to see you. Hey, g'day. How you doing, Issa? So when understanding the view of the Quran, when it speaks about Mary, we must understand that Muhammad did not truly know who the mother of our Lord and Savior truly is.
Amen.
And when we follow, and when one follows a logical conclusion, we see that the Islamic view of Mary is a very disgusting and degrading view of Mary. So, the Quran did not truly know who Mary was. When we read in the Quran, we get this as the description of Mary and her family. Anybody out there with the Quran, which if you do, try not to eat it, because I was told by apostate prophet and David Wood that it did not taste very good. In Surah 3, verse 33, it states, "Indeed, Allah chose Adam, Noah, and the family of Abraham, and the family of Imran over all the people of their time." All right. And then it says in Surah 3:35, it says, "Remember when the wife of Imran said, 'My Lord, I dedicate what is in my womb entirely to your service. So accept it from me. You alone are truly the all-knowing or the all-hearing and all-knowing.'" So, what this is actually speaking about is, apparently, Mary's father is Imran. Now, everybody may be asking, who is Imran, right? So, Imran is actually the father of Moses and Aaron. And weirdly enough, and if we go to Surah 19, verses 27 to 28, it actually says, "Then she brought the child to her folk, carrying him, and they said, 'Mary, thou hast surely committed a monstrous thing, sister of Aaron. Thy father was not a wicked man, nor was thy mother a woman unchaste.' And Mary, Imran's daughter, who guarded her virginity, so we breathed into her our spirit, and we confirmed the words of her Lord in his book, and became one of the obedient." That is in 66:12. So, we have the sister of Aaron. We have Imran, which is the father of Aaron, and the father of Moses, and technically the father of a lady called Miriam, not Mary, but Miriam. So what happens here is what I believe is because Muhammad was a flea-bitten prophet, and of course he literate, and was probably tricked by the Jews through his whole life and didn't really know anything about what happened, what took place 600 years prior to that. He kind of mixed some things up, right? He kind of thought, well, Imran seems like a good name because that's the father of Moses. So we're going to say that Miriam, that is described as being Moses and Aaron's sister, is actually Mary, the mother of Jesus. Anybody out there? DL?
Yes, sir.
Anybody? What are your thoughts on this? What do you feel when you look at this and see that the Quran has identified Imran as the father of Mary and, of course, calls Mary the sister of Aaron?
Well, it seems that Muhammad, having so many years to get the biblical narrative right, still got it wrong. We know that the Messiah comes through the lineage of Judah, and that totally and completely contradicts the whole concept of the Messiah being the son of David, the lion of the tribe of Judah, as we see in Genesis chapter 49:10. He just got the whole thing wrong, and it's clear that he didn't hear from the same God that the biblical prophets and the biblical apostles heard from. We can write him off as false easily.
I totally agree. Ed, what are your thoughts? Do you have anything to say yet?
Yeah, as I typed in there, it's about a 1,400-year error going on right there, because Miriam, the daughter of Imran, lived 1,400 years before Jesus was born. That's kind of a problem all by itself, right?
So one more thing I just want to hit home on this. A lot of people out there, a lot of Muslims, are saying, no, when we say the sister of Aaron, we do not mean the brother of Moses. You guys, what are you guys doing? You guys are just, you're not smart. Well, a long time ago, somebody else came up with that same argument. It was narrated from Ibn Jarir. Narrated from Yaqub, which is narrated from whoever and who cares, narrated by, again, who cares at whoever, narrated by a whole bunch of people here, it said, who stated that he was told that Cobb said that verse that reads, O sister of Harun, which is Aaron, of Surah 19:28, does not refer to Aaron, the brother of Moses. Aisha replied, Cobb, you have lied. Cobb responded, O mothers of the believers, if the prophet, may Allah prayers be upon him, said it, he is more knowledgeable than this is what related. Besides, I find the difference in time between them, Jesus and Moses, to be about 600 years. And he said that she remains silent. So we have the mother of the believers. We have the prodigy, little girl herself, the one that was, when she was crawling around on all fours, Muhammad just knew that she was going to be the one. You know, that six-year-old that was so mature that Muhammad wrote, oh wait, he didn't write because he was illiterate. Oh, but wait, there is hadith that say that he wrote it, whichever, the marriage contract between him and this so mature, wonderful mother of the believers, right? This woman, mother of the believers, that Muslims cannot say a bad word about. When this guy said it does not refer to Aaron, the brother of Moses, she replied, you have lied. So who do we believe more, Muslims? Are we going to believe the mother of the believers, or are we just going to believe some pesky Muslim back in the day that was trying to come at the mother of your believers? Come on now. who has more credibility in your view? So that's my view. I agree with Aisha, even though she was probably, you know, deemed her whole life. And we got to put this into consideration, right? DL knows, Ed knows, Eric knows, Issa knows, John knows that Aisha was so special that Muhammad received revelation while wearing women's clothes, right? She had to have been special if she had clothes that had these magical powers that would give her man divine revelation. You know, that's got to be some good stuff going on there. But anyway, I'll agree with Aisha, and I will call you Muslims liars when you say that verse that says, "O sister of Aaron," does not refer to Aaron, the brother of Moses, as Aisha has said. So I would love for any Muslim to come up here and say that Aisha is completely wrong and she has no idea what she is talking about. So, continuing on, it says, when she delivered, she said, "My Lord, I have given birth to a girl." And Allah fully knew what she delivered. And now this again, if you go to, like, when you read the Quran, you've got to be some kind of stupid to try to understand this thing. Just listen to this. When she delivered, she said, "My Lord, I have given birth to a girl," and Allah fully knew what she had delivered. I hope so. He's God in this book. And then he says, "And the male is not like the female. I had named her Mary, and I seek your protection for her and her offspring from Satan, the accused or accursed." So this is the mother of Mary speaking. Well, technically, it's Allah giving us what the mother of Mary would have been saying, apparently, right? But here it says, the mother of Mary says, I've been given a girl. Yay, I've given birth to a girl, right? And Allah knows, I know what you had, because males are not like females. Now, why would Allah have to say, "I knew what you delivered," because the male is not like the female, if, in fact, he's God? He should have just known. He shouldn't have had to look at the private parts of this baby, because that's actually pretty disgusting, being this God. Like, come on, Muslims, your God, Allah, literally has to look at a baby's genitals to know what sex the baby is. Because why? The male is not like the female. Seriously, like, you've got to be some kind of stupid when you're reading this Quran to think that this actually makes sense. Continuing on, it says, just bear with me 1 second. "So her Lord accepted her graciously and blessed her with a pleasant upbringing, entrusting her to the care of Zechariah. So whenever Zechariah visited her in the sanctuary, he found her supplied with provisions. He exclaimed, 'Oh, Mary, where did this come from?' She replied, 'It is from Allah. Surely Allah provides for whoever he wills without limit.'" So what we have here is we have Mary. Not sure what's going on here. My screen just messed up a little bit. So what we have here is we have the mother of Mary basically telling Allah, "Yeah, I had a girl." And Allah's like, "Yeah, I know you had a girl. I can see the private parts there. And yeah, that doesn't look like a male's private part. So I know the difference now." Like, that's your God, Muslims. And then all of a sudden it flips over to Zacharias was entrusted with Mary. And he's coming to ask her, "Where'd all these provisions come from, Mary?" And she can't answer. So, again, I would keep, got to keep saying, what's going on here? Now, is anybody in here right now? Can you take over for about 5 minutes, Eric? Anybody? Just speaking on Mary in the Quran.
Okay, well, also, the other huge problem that we have here, if this hasn't been mentioned already, is that Allah says that he has to have a consort, Quran 6:101, in order to have a child, right? So, we find a direct Quran tradition with this when we get into...
Quran tradition.
Yeah, when we get into chapter 19, and Mary gives birth to a baby Jesus, but yet has no father. So, the big question is, can Mary do something that Allah cannot do? Now, is Mary superior over Allah? And again, if you tried to say no, Allah impregnated her, well, 6:101 says that he has to have a consort to do that. So, there's a problem here, guys.
He also says all we have to do is say be and it is. However,
that's how he creates.
Yeah.
Exactly. But then if all he had to do was say be and it is, why did he have to blow into her vagina?
Exactly.
Farhaja. Okay.
Yeah.
He could have just said be and it is, but he decided to tickle her a little bit.
And Ed's 1,000% right. The Quran literally says Allah cannot have a child without a consort, which means a significant other. But the Quran specifically says that Mary had a child without a consort. So technically, reading this, we can see that Mary is greater than Allah because she can do something that Allah cannot do. Very true, Ed. Very true, Ed. So continue on here. It's just my screen messed up. I fixed it up. Thank you very much, Ed, for that. So here it says that Mary was the daughter of Imran, who was named after Noah. Now, remember this, people. Mary was the daughter of Imran, who is named after Noah in the verse. And remember, there's no mention of Moses, just the family of Imran. Now, the last thing I want to derive from this is that Mary was entrusted by Allah to Zacharias to raise her. Now, Zacharias actually seemed bitter that he has not been blessed by Allah. So in the Quran, Zacharias actually prayed to Allah for a righteous offspring. After he had heard that, Allah said that he would indeed have a son named John. Zacharias then said, well, how can I have a child? I am so old. Does this really make sense? Truly, Zacharias is like, please, God, I need an offspring. I really do. And then an angel comes to you and says, you know what? Because of all your prayers, God is going to grant you an offspring, and his name will be John. And then you're like, but I'm old. How am I going to have it? Why were you praying in the first place, Zacharias? Like, honestly, right? If you didn't think that you could father a child at your old, old age, why were you praying to God? But that's beside the point, right? But doesn't this sound familiar? Because this story to me kind of sounds like Abraham and Sarah. What Sarah said. This isn't what Zacharias would have said. This is what Sarah actually said at the time of Abraham. So, Zacharias assumes, oh, and this gets even worse. Like, again, you've got to be some kind of stupid to read the Quran and think that is a logical divine revelation. Okay. Now, Zacharias assumes that he needs a sign so that he can believe what Allah had just said. So, the sign that Zacharias receives. Now, I'm not even joking with you people. You can read this in the Quran. Zacharias is like, if this is true, I need a sign. And Allah's like, all right, you got your sign. And his sign is that he could not communicate verbally with his people for 3 days. That was it. That was his sign. There you go. So what did Zacharias do? As soon as he heard that, he just shut up for 3 days. That's not a sign. You're telling the guy what to do. Come on. Like, and Muslims actually believe this stuff. Now, anyone knows this is nonsense. But this is what Muslims truly believe. And if you don't believe me, you can read Surah 3, verses 33 to 55. And you will see that everything that I am saying right now is 100% true from the Quran. All right. So now we've got the story about Mary's family, about Moses mucking that up a little bit. We're going to get into a little bit of a touchy subject for certain people. So if there's any children in the room, this is the time that they need to leave. I'll give you the count of three. One, two, and three. All right. So now, as our friend DL's already said, when Gabriel come to Mary, it says in Surah 19, verse 17, and she took in seclusion from them a screen, and then we sent our angel, and he represented himself to her as a well-proportioned man. So Gabriel came to Mary as a man. He then tells her that he can do what he wants, and that it is said in Surah 19:22. So she conceived with him and withdrew to a remote place. So they went into seclusion, Mary and Jibril. Okay. They walked away from people, they withdrew, and they went into seclusion with just the two of them. And this is when Jibril blew into her farjah. Uh-oh. Now, we have two interpretations. So, let's logically, as adults, understand the two premises that Muslims put forward. So, the word farjah, which I'm probably pronouncing wrong because I'm not Arabic, it can mean a woman's private part, which that's what it means. The other interpretation that Muslims like to give is that it simply means the rim of a dress. All right. Let's take both of those interpretations for a second. Typically, women would have underwear on under their dress. So if, in fact, Jibril just gently lifted up the side of her dress and blew there, it would have did nothing. Now, if we take a look at the other definition of the word, definitely something could have happened, right? So, I'm not going to get too far into that. Because, to me, when you're reading the Quran, it is like reading a porn. And that's not something I'm into. So, also with Mary's genealogy in the Quran... Oh, I've already pointed that out. Sorry about that. That was just another reference. All right, so Gabriel came to Mary as a well-proportioned man, and when they went away, he blew into her private parts. Maybe it's just me, but this actually sounds like porn instead of a religious story. Oh, and let's not forget, Mary is actually the sister of Aaron and Moses. Just think, Muslims actually think this is honoring Mary. And that's not even the worst thing. The worst thing is yet to come. We know that Muslims know that men and women will be married and having sex in Islamic paradise. And it just so happens to see that Mary, Muslims seem to think, will be one of the lucky ones, right? Why do they believe this? So, you can find this in Ibn Kathir. This is stated. The messenger of God said, God married me in paradise to marry the daughter of Imran and the wife of Pharaoh and the sister of Moses. Down here it says another late Iranian Islamic scholar, Ali Dashti, wrote, according to the Cambridge Tafsir, the word widows or divorcees refers to Pharaoh's wife, Asiya, and the word virgins, Abkar, or whatever, refers to Jesus' mother, Mary, both of whom are waiting to be married to the Prophet Muhammad in heaven. And it has already been mentioned that one of the Quran commentaries takes widowed to mean Pharaoh's wife, Asiya, and virgin to mean Jesus, the mother, Jesus' mother, Mary, and states that both will be married to the Prophet in heaven. Since the Quran says nothing to this effect, the significance is the statement that it illustrates to the mentality of the commentators. So the commentators of these tafsirs actually have stated this. So this means Muhammad believed that he would be married to our blessed Lord's mother and have sexual intercourse with her in paradise, because that's what Muslims believe, right? Such an idea not only shocks Christians, but actually exposes the sick perversions of this religion. We are thankful to God that Islam not true and Muhammad is not God's prophet, and Mary will never be married to Muhammad, nor will she be married to anyone else in paradise, since in the Bible it says that the people of this age marry are given in marriage, but those who are considered worthy of taking part in the age in the resurrection from the dead will neither marry nor be given in marriage, and they can no longer die, for they are like the angels. They are God's children, since they are the children of the resurrection. That's Luke chapter 20. So we have in the Bible that there will be no giving and taking of marriage in the Bible, because that is not something that is viewed and not, it's just not logical.
Right.
So, does anybody else have anything to say on the Quranic view of Mary before we continue to the biblical view?
It's moronic.
Yeah, you have Sahih Bukhari, Volume 7, Book 65, Number 329, narrated by Abu Musa al-Asari. He says, the Prophet said, many men reach perfection, but none among the women reach perfection except Mary, the daughter of Imran, and Asiya, Pharaoh's wife. And the superiority of Aisha to other women is like the superiority of Thari to other kinds of food. So if Muhammad is going to marry Mary, the mother of Jesus, and Asiya, the wife of Pharaoh, and Aisha is superior to them, then it seems like Muhammad is settling.
100%. What do you got to say, Eric? I know you got to say something on this. He's over there ignoring us.
What are you talking to me, Chris?
Yeah. Hey, Eric, how you doing?
I'm sorry. Good morning. I just had a really busy afternoon. What was the question again? I'm sorry. I was writing something down here.
What? Is there anything that you got to say on the moronic view of Mary in Islam?
Right. Yeah. It's another one of these what we call anachronisms that we find in the Quran. You hit the heart of it when you go to Muslims like to go to chapter 19. I believe they like to go to chapter 66, where it says that Mary is the sister of Aaron, and they like to say that it as a relational. Relationally, it is as a sisterhood and not necessarily a blood relative. And they like to try to cover up for Muhammad's gross mistake here. But when you go to chapter 3, like you did, and that's when we start talking about how historically inaccurate this is and how historically inaccurate the Quran is, that is actually the chapter to go to, because what it does is it provides you Imran, and then it provides you his wife. So it tells you that his wife is having a child. Which child is that? Well, the child is Mary. And then it goes on to describe Zacharias. There's no separation here. There's no separation here of 1,400 years. If you're trying to allegorize this, if you're trying to make this an allegory, you can't do it. So the fact is that Muhammad actually thought that Imran was the mother or was the father of Mary, not Maryam, the historical, according to the Bible, historical daughter of Imran, and which would also make Mary the sister of Aaron, as mentioned in these other, I think it's three other locations in the Quran. It mentions that Mary is the sister of Aaron. I'm willing to be wrong on that, but it mentions that she is the sister of Aaron, which would also make her the sister of Moses. Well, as mentioned, Ed pointed out that it's only a 1,400-year discrepancy. You know, when you're off by a millennia and a half, I think that you really need to reevaluate your book historically. So, you know, me being the historian and this historical guy, these are the things that I focus in on, is these anachronisms that exist in the Quran that clearly demonstrate that Muhammad had no idea what he was talking about. So when the often made excuses, well, Mary is given her own chapter in the Quran, we venerate her, or we put her up on such a high esteem, yada, yada, yada. It's not true, because you have the wrong Mary. It's just like everything else in the Quran, saying that we love Jesus. Well, you love a different Jesus that is portrayed in the Bible. You do not love the Jesus of the Bible, the Jesus that was born of a virgin, that is the Son of God, that died on a cross and suffered for our sins and rose again for the dead. You don't believe in Jesus of the Bible. You believe in a fake Jesus. Just as you believe in a fake Jesus, you believe in a fake Mary. And that's what you have in the Quran, a fake right. Mary. And so anytime that they start doing these things where Muhammad's going to marry Mary in heaven, or you know, whatever the heck, it's all nothing but that. It's just one great big story. It's just one great big made up lie, because he didn't know what he was talking about. He had heard these things and he tried to piece them together. He just couldn't keep his lies straight. That's the one problem.
Yeah, I definitely agree. And I think that's where it comes from too, Eric, is I think that during Muhammad's travels, when he was with the cougar woman there, but you know, when he was out doing his caravan trading, before he was doing the caravan robbing, he would have been out there. He would have been hearing these stories of Moses. He would have been hearing stories of Mary. I would have been hearing stories of this lady, Miriam, and I think that he just put Mary and Miriam together and thought they were the same person, and that's the way that we read it in the Quran, of course, right?
Well, this is what happens when you're dealing with somebody who is illiterate. They hear these things and they cannot conceptualize them in their minds other than through an oral tradition, through an oral history. And when you separate – when you are unable to separate what is actually historical in the Bible – and you try to make it as part of an oral tradition, these are the type of errors that occur. A great example of that is a Sumerian helping Aaron at Mount Sinai build the golden calf. The problem with that is that Samaria did not become a known province in what is in Canaan, or in that region in what is Israel today, until the northern kingdom was carried off in 721. So you have a 700-year. It's, you know, it's not as big as a gap as the one between Maryam, Moses, Imran, and Mary, but it is a very significant gap. So when you start looking at all of these historical errors, you can clearly see that Muhammad, even though, you know, he was, and I believe he was an intelligent man. I believe that, you know, he could retain a lot of things from memory. It's just that he just couldn't keep them all straight. There was just too much. There was just too much there for him to keep his lies straight.
Yeah. I just would like to add something here.
Arabic, go ahead, John.
Okay. In Arabic or in Quran Arabic, there is no Mary and Miriam. Both of them, Maryam. In Arabic, we don't differentiate between the two words like Mary, Virgin Mary, Mother of Jesus, and Miriam, sister of Harun. No, both of them, the same word, Maryam. Then Muhammad got confused. Maryam, sister of Harun, and Maryam, mother of Jesus. This is why he makes this mix in the story. Because it's only one word, Maryam, not Mary and Miriam.
No, yeah, I agree. Great 100% point. With you, John.
Great point.
Yeah, that's a good point. Yeah, when you only have one word describes both their names, definitely see how he would have. Well, you can see how a normal person, a non-prophet, a person that's not receiving divine revelation, would have mixed it up, right? But if this person, say, a so-called prophet, receiving divine revelation from his God that didn't. Now, and again, this guy is receiving divine revelation from a God that needs to look at a baby's private parts to tell if it's male or female. That's the type of God that he's a prophet.
But anyway, now, John Isaac, one question. Was there an Arabic Quran? I mean, an Arabic Injil during the time of Muhammad?
I never heard that.
Yes.
I don't know.
The reason why I ask you is because twice in Sahih Bukhari, volume 4, book 55, number 605, narrated by Aisha, she said, Waraka bin Nafal, who was a Christian in pre-Islamic times, converted to Christianity and used to read the gospel in Arabic.
I believe that would have been a diatessaron.
And then in Al-Bukhari, volume 6, book 60, number 478, narrated by Aisha, she says, narrating pretty much the same story, Waraka bin Nafal, the son of Khadija's paternal uncle, Waraka, had been converted to Christianity in the pre-Islamic period and used to write Arabic and write of the gospel in Arabic as much as Allah wished him to write. And then also in Sahih Bukhari, volume 9, the same thing is narrated. And then once that story is narrated in Sahih Muslim, she says that Waraka bin Nafal, he was the man who had embraced Christianity in the days of ignorance. And he used to write books in Arabic and therefore wrote.
Okay, but where is this? We don't have any Arabic Bible or manuscript for Arabic Bible before Islam.
I understand, but what I'm saying is you'll have certain Muslims who will say there was no book written in Arabic before the Quran. Well, their own sources would contradict that. And if there was Injil, kind of as our brother Chris Claus is kind of alluding to, he would have had an opportunity to get this information about Mary and Zechariah and John the Baptist and all of that correct.
Well, technically, I'm not giving Muhammad an out, okay, but technically, I believe that the Diatessaron was the Tatian's recollection, the four gospels, mm-hmm, minus the genealogy. So I don't believe that the genealogy were in the Diatessaron that Tatian actually writ. And I don't believe it was. And if you listen to Ali Atai, he'll tell you that the Arabic gospel, the Injil that was there in Arabic that Waraka was reading, is actually the Diatessaron.
I believe that as well. But what I'm saying is, for somebody to have gotten all of this information wrong.
Yeah, he wouldn't have had the Torah. Like when he said bring the Torah and put his hand on it, there's no way that he read one word in that.
Absolutely. But what I'm saying is that the defenders of Muhammad will tell you there was no gospel in Arabic at that time.
Yeah.
So we're saying that their own sources contradict that. Yeah. And that's just one of the ways that they try to defend Muhammad by saying he never had access to a gospel.
Well, then that kind of really blows it up because he confirmed the Torah and the gospel in Quran 3:3.
Exactly. And not only that, but their own sources, Sahih, Bukhari and Muslim, both testify that he didn't just write the gospel in Arabic, but he read it. And the only way you can read it is if it was in Arabic, which means that it would have been extant at the time prior to Islam, because I believe Waraka is the one whom Khadija used to verify that Muhammad was a prophet.
Yeah, so, the Arabic Bible didn't come out till, oh God, I'm trying to remember.
A couple of centuries later.
Yeah. So another Quran tradition.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
Sorry, Chris. Go ahead, bro.
No problem. Yeah, all great information. So now what I want to do is I want to take away the negativity and I want to introduce positivity. So instead of talking about the evilness of Islam and the twisted, gross, disgusting view that they have of Mary, the mother of our Lord and Savior, let's give some biblical view now of Mary. I'll start off. Grace is unmerited favor. Grace is a blessing we receive despite the fact that we do not deserve it. Mary needed grace from God and a Savior, just as the rest of us do. Mary herself understood this fact, as she declared in Luke chapter 1, verse 47, "My spirit rejoices in God, my Savior." The Virgin Mary, by God's grace, recognized that she needed the Savior. The Bible never says that Mary was anyone but an ordinary human whom God chose to use in an extraordinary way. Yes, Mary was a righteous woman and favored grace by God. This is in Luke chapter 1, 27 to 28. And at the same time, Mary was a sinful human being who needed Jesus Christ as her Savior, just like everyone else, Ecclesiastes and the rest on. So the Virgin Mary did not have an immaculate conception. The Bible doesn't suggest Mary's birth was anything but normal, a normal birth. Mary was a virgin when she gave birth to Jesus, but she was not a virgin permanently. The idea of the perpetual virginity of Mary is unbiblical.
Right.
Matthew 1:25. Speaking of Joseph declares, he had no, speaking of Joseph declares, but he had no union with her until she gave birth to a son, and he gave him the name Jesus. The word until clearly indicates that Joseph and Mary did have normal relations after Jesus was born, but Mary remained a virgin until the Savior's birth. But later, Joseph and Mary had several children together. Jesus had four half-brothers, James, Joseph, Simon, Judas. Matthew chapter 13. Also half-sisters as well. So God blessed and graced Mary by giving her several children, which in that culture was accepted as the clearest indication of God's blessing upon a woman. So, yes, I believe that Mary is a very blessed. I believe that Mary was blessed by God, and I believe that Mary had a very important job to do for God. She did exactly what she could do. And through her obedience to God, God blessed her with the highest indication of a blessing upon a woman, which is a lot of children. Anybody else want to take a stab in there and go on the Mary in the biblical view?
Well, it does talk about how Jesus' family thought that he was crazy I believe it's in the Gospel of Matthew. So if you have a family, that means that you have brothers and sisters. So I think that would be another indicator that there was more than just Jesus was not an only child. And plus you have James. I mean, that's kind of hard to get around.
Yeah. Yeah. When you're declared as like the brother of somebody, it's not like we're saying that James was a pious man, right? And that he was just named that way because of the pious Jesus or nothing. No, when we see the brother of Jesus in the Bible, that actually means that he is the brother. And of course, Mary is blessed. She is the Theotokos. She is the God bearer. She is the one that bore God in her womb, and give birth to our Lord and Savior in the form of a servant. And for that, there's nothing that anybody could take away from her. She's definitely a blessed woman. She's in paradise. She's in heaven, not in marriage, and not being abused by some filthy, disgusting Arabic man that proclaimed himself as a prophet in the 7th century. But she is with her Lord and Savior, her God, the Savior that she needed. Now, this, to me, the biblical view of Mary is a more honoring view of Mary. We view her as she's represented, she should be. She's a blessed and very honored woman in Christianity. In Islam, she's just another piece of meat on Muhammad's plate, paradise. And it even gets more, like, in paradise, you all know that a man could have like 100 virgins in one day. He's going to have that much stamina in one day. Right? That's what Allah says. Please don't laugh. This is all divine revelation in Islam, people. Quit laughing, you kafirs. No, but seriously, like, I don't know how, like, when you say that you honor somebody, but yet you degrade the person to the lowest form and the most disgusting language possible, I don't know how that's honoring someone. And this is exactly what Muslims do to Mary, the mother of Jesus. So I don't have much more to say, but all I want to say here is on Mother's Day, I'm glad to be a Christian. I'm glad that I'm able to honor the mother of our Lord and Savior, and that we can truly respect who she was and what she did for us, unlike these disgusting Muslims and their view of Mary in the Quran. Anybody else?
Yeah, I just wanted to echo the same sentiments as you about Mary. Truly a blessed woman of God. However, I want to point out another point of ignorance on Muhammad's part, and that's Sarah, Abraham's wife. And this might shock a lot of Christians, but Mary is never stated to be the mother of the believers in a spiritual sense, but Sarah is. So I kind of want to go to Genesis 15 and 16, where it says that God said to Abraham, "As for your wife Sarai, do not call her Sarah or Sarai, for Sarah will be her name." And then he says that, "And I will bless her, and moreover, I will give thee a son of her. Yeah, I will bless her, and she shall be a mother of nations. Kings of people shall come from her." So like Abram, his name was changed to Abraham, and he was the father of many nations. Sarah would be the mother of nations. Okay.
What book was that again? I'm sorry.
That's Genesis 17, verses 15 and 16. Then in Isaiah chapter 51, verse 2, it says, "Look to Abraham, your father, and to Sarah, who gave birth to you." When I called him, he was only one. I blessed him and made him many. So look to Abraham, your father, and to Sarah, who gave birth to you. Then in 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 6, it says, just as Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him Lord, you have become her children. Spiritually, her children, the Greek is techna. Some virgins say her daughters, but techna means children. You have become her children when you do what is good and do not fear any intimidation. So according to the scriptures, Sarah is our spiritual mother, just as Abraham is the father of faith. And the Quran never once mentions Sarah. So I just wanted to point out that omission.
Yeah, I agree. It definitely omits name of Sarah in the Quran, but it definitely pulls from her story, right?
It does, right.
Because the part of her being too old for a child, I'm pretty sure that when the Quran puts that in Zachariah's mouth, that comes straight from the mouth of Sarah, of course. That's just another addition that Muhammad would have added in. But you're right. But, Sarah is the mother of all nations, even the Arabic nation.
What did you
so exactly. So how in the world did Aisha become the mother of the faithful when Sarah is the mother of nations?
What verse did you mention before 1 Peter?
That was Isaiah 51, verse 2. Oh, I have thank it on God. I wasn't preaching to the choir today.
Oh, Ed, always take notes.
Oh, yeah, I definitely keep notes. Because, man, I take on Muslims big time on Facebook. And I can remember 16 different forums, and I've been going in there and just lawn mowing them.
Yeah, this one comes in handy when you're talking about Aisha being the mother of the faithful. I mean, how is that when Sarah's the mother of nations, Gentiles, Goyim? But this is also a big surprise to Christians because I know we put a lot of emphasis on Mary. However, Peter doesn't describe Mary as the spiritual mother of believers, but rather Sarah. So just kind of wanted to throw that in there.
Yeah, and I understand, Mary getting a lot of attention like she does because she's the mother of Jesus. And I understand a lot of the views coming from that angle. But, yeah, I mean, exegesis is everything.
So happy Mother's Day to Sarah. As well as Mary, right?
Amen.
Amen to that, yes. Anybody else have anything?
Well, I was going to point out James being the brother of Jesus. How would you like to be that guy growing up? I mean, why can't you be more like your brother? Why can't you be that? I mean, could you imagine the struggles this kid had? I mean, the trauma, how much trauma he would have gone through.
Later in life, after James realized who it was, he probably looked at his mother and been like, see, he's God. There's no way I was keeping up to that.
Yeah.
I told you, Jimmy, you should have listened to me. I've often thought of that, though. I mean, if you're the brother or sister of Christ and you're growing up and you see Jesus living his life, growing up. And he's going to be your older brother, and he's going to treat you in that relationship. I mean, that you just can't. Of course, that's you're never going to be able to emulate that. But just trying to, live up to that would be difficult. And also after the resurrection, your whole life. And I would think that there would be some level of resentment from the brothers and sisters towards Jesus for being this special one chosen of God, of course, and then finally coming to the realization that, yes, he was indeed who he said he was. And this is where, you know, we see James taking on and leading the church there in Jerusalem. So I think that's just a great testament of the resurrection of Christ, is the conversion of his brother James, who would have most certainly probably at least been at a minimum skeptical of mm-hmm. of who Jesus was. But then after seeing and meeting the resurrection of Christ, you know, you're going to go all in on that because you're going to grow up with him. I know for a fact that there is not a brother or sister relationship out there right now in this world that would, the other one would say, yeah, you're the Messiah. Yeah, you're the Son of God. Yeah, you're, you know, because we all live, you know, we all grow up with, you know, our brothers and sisters. We know how inherently evil we were when we were children. And to an extent, some still are. But to see that and to grow up in that—that's, I mean, that's just another testament to who, you know, what. How, if you're a mother, how do you manage that? You know, if you're married, you know, okay, I have the Son of God here, and then I got you guys. I mean, how do you not treat one over the other if that's the case? Yeah.
Well, I think the quintessence of Jesus had a different effect on his family, and the scriptures would kind of restrict the notion that you're putting forth, and that is in the sense that you know, chapter 6 of Mark talks about how his family considered him to be out of his mind. Yeah. I think his divine nature had, you know, made people think he was crazy. Now, we do know that Mary would have had the testimony from the angel that he was the Son of God. But, you know, how much, you know, she pondered that over the years is hard to say if she came to the conclusion, as well as his brothers and sisters, that he was out of his mind or somewhat mashuga, yeah, as the Hebrew says, you know. So, I don't know.
That'd be a tough one to follow, that's mm-hmm. for sure.
Alrighty, so if that's all we have from everybody, I want to say that we can wrap up today's show. But first, before we do that, I again would love to say Happy Mother's Day to all the beautiful mothers out there, especially the panelists' wives and mothers, and all the mothers into the chat today. Thank you so much for everything you do. And Mother's Day shouldn't just be celebrated one day. It should be celebrated every day. So don't just celebrate your wife or your mother on one day. Please do it every day as God has commanded us. And with saying that, God bless everyone. And we'll see you Tuesday night at 6 p.m. Eastern Standard Time for the next show.
All right. God bless. Shalom. Thanks.